go ahead and have a seat and let's pray. Lord, as we come to this time of communion to celebrate what you accomplished on the cross, I pray you would help us to remember and proclaim in Jesus that you'd be made much of in this time. And it's always in your great name we pray. Amen. Since we're going to be spending time in God's Word, we want to ensure that everyone has a copy of God's Word that they are looking at. So the men are going to come forward and they're going to pass out Bibles. So if you don't have a copy of God's Word, go ahead and raise your hand. And we'd love to put a copy of God's Word in your hands. And if you don't have a copy, this is actually a gift for you. You can keep this. And as the men are distributing the Bibles, please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. I had a birthday this past week, and I received many well-wishing happy birthdays. And then I received one that said, "Thanks for being born." That's really funny. And I literally laughed out loud when I received it. And obviously, some of you thought that was funny. But why? Why is it funny? Because here I am celebrating an event, my birth, that I didn't plan, that I didn't initiate, that I didn't make happen, and that I didn't bring to fruition in any way. I was just along for the ride. I was a passive participant. And just as I didn't have anything to do with my physical birth into this world, I also didn't have anything to do with my spiritual birth either. We just read in our scripture reading, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and this is one of the clearest and densest gospel passages in all of the Bible. And if you're a believer, then this is explaining the reality of your spiritual birth. Verses 1 through 3, Paul explains our previous spiritual condition. We were dead. We were spiritual corpses. In verses 4 through 7, God took spiritually dead sinners and he made us alive. We went from an eternal destination as objects of God's wrath to being seated with Christ as objects of his grace. And that leads us to verses 8 and 9, where God explains how this salvation works. Please follow along as I read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast." Believer, you have been saved. You've been rescued. You passively received God's salvation. Your salvation, your justification before God, is simply and exclusively the result of God's grace. God's grace is a free gift. It's his unmerited favor, giving you what you do not deserve. What do we deserve? God's wrath. And what does he give us? Heaven forever with him. How does God accomplish this salvation in the life of a sinner? What means does he use? Faith. Look again at verse 8. You have been saved through faith. The means of salvation is simply and exclusively through faith. And Paul continues, this salvation gift of God is not of yourselves. It's not of works. You had nothing to do with it. You added nothing to it. Dead people can't do anything. There's nothing that we have done or can do to have a right standing in God's courtroom. We were the passive recipients of God's grace. God is the active one. He's the one performing all of the works of salvation. Ephesians 1 and 2, what we've covered in the scripture reading over the last few weeks, is detailing God's active work in salvation. And just by way of quick review, God has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ. He bestowed grace on us in Christ. He caused grace to abound to us. He made known to us the mystery. He made us an inheritance. He sealed us in Christ. He made us alive together with Christ. He raised us up with Christ, and he seated us with Christ in the heavenly places. Who's doing the work? Who's doing all of the work? God. God is doing all of the work. And why did God do it this way? Look at the end of verse 9. So that no one may boast. If we contributed nothing, then we've earned nothing. We have nothing in and of ourselves to boast in. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am Yahweh, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. God alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, saves. He does all the work, and he will not allow anyone to get credit for what is exclusively his work. Man loves doing things to try to earn favor, to take credit for achievements. See what I've done. Unregenerate man ultimately is trusting in himself and what he's achieved and not what God has accomplished. You may have noticed that we mentioned that the means of salvation is faith, but we didn't discuss the object of that faith. That faith, the faith that saves, is faith in Jesus. What the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for you on the cross. All you've done in this life is store up wrath for yourself, for your sins. And at the cross, Jesus bore the penalty of sin. He went in place of you as your substitute to accomplish what you could never accomplish. He completely satisfied the wrath of God, and that's why he could say, it is finished. And this is why we set aside time every week here at Grace Bible Church, so that we can remember what he accomplished at the cross. We do this by taking a little cracker that represents the Lord's body and a little cup of juice that represents his blood. And in doing so, we remember and proclaim his death. The Lord's Supper is only for believers, for those that have put their faith in Christ alone for their salvation and are not trusting in anything else, nothing that they've done, no way that they've cleaned themselves up, nothing other than what Christ accomplished to satisfy God. So if by your own admission you would say that this does not describe you, then when the tray comes by, we ask that you just simply pass it by. This is a family time to proclaim what Christ has accomplished. If you have any questions about what it means to put your faith in Christ alone, please come talk to me, any one of the other pastors, the person that brought you. This is also a time for believers to examine themselves. We're warned not to take the bread and the cup in an unworthy manner. If you have any known unrepentant sin, go ahead and confess that, turn from it, and partake. Believer, we do have something to boast in, and it's not ourselves. We get to boast in Christ. Praise Christ and worship Christ. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit want the magnifying glass on what Christ has done, what has been done in Christ, what has been done through Christ. We get to praise him now and forever for what he accomplished for our salvation. When your hearts are prepared, go ahead and take the elements on your own.